We got just enough time to catch up with one of our local vets. Dr. Natasha Wannan is here. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thanks.
That's good. Look, we're going to talk a bit about arthritis today in pets, obviously. Can we start with dogs?
Yep.
So, what are the signs, I guess, that your dog might have arthritis?
Really broad and often picked up more easily in dogs because we take our dogs for walks.
Yeah.
So often, you know, the first thing might be your dog doesn't want to walk its whole distance for its walk because it's sore towards the end of its walk, or it's limping after its walk, or, you know, instead of being like racing off because it's excited for a walk, it's lagging a bit behind. It's a bit slower than usual. Being slow to get up and down, like that, particularly in those back legs, if you've got a bit of arthritis in the hips or knees, can be a pretty early sign. Struggling to jump. Mm-hmm. So, you know, used to jump in the back of the ute all the time. Now it's like jumps up and it's a bit more of a scramble, more of a struggle. Can be, all those things can be signs that your pet's getting some arthritis.
Okay. And is there like a certain age?
I wouldn't say there's a certain age. Can really vary depending on the pet and what's going on. You know, say you've got a dog that's predisposed to getting arthritis because they've got hip dysplasia or bad elbows or something, they could be 3 or 4.
Okay.
Or, you know, your pet might not have any signs until it's 9 or 10.
Yeah, wow, okay.
So it can really, you know, depending on the pet, I would say anywhere from 5 to 6 where, you know, you be expecting to see some, potentially sometimes. Your pet still might be fine, but, you know, like in humans, some people get to 70 or 80 and all their joints are still really good.
Yep.
Others
get it at 40, 50. I mean, early arthritis, obviously, you can get it at 12, right?
Yes. So yes, well, that's a different kettle of fish. So it can really vary depending on the pet, pre-existing injuries. You know, say you've got a working dog that's busted its cruciate ligament or something, and so it's going to get arthritis in that knee no matter what we do to fix that cruciate. And that's going to happen a lot sooner than a dog that doesn't hurt its cruciate ligament.
What about breeds? Are there like certain breeds that are more that affect that or not really?
I would say there are certain breeds that are more prone to having orthopedic problems. So, you know, Labradors are renowned for having hip dysplasia.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, your Maltese is less likely to have hip dysplasia. So whilst it's not the breed that gives them arthritis, their conformation and genetics and things predispose them to that developing arthritis, as well as weight and things like that too.
Yeah, okay, right. There's quite a few things. What about cats? Do cats get arthritis?
Cats absolutely get arthritis.
They do, okay.
Yes. So the studies show that up to 40% of our cats have arthritis.
40%?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow, okay.
But they're much harder to pick it up in because they're better at hiding it. We don't take them for the 5K walk. We often don't watch them as intimately as we watch our dog, you know, getting up and out of its bed and jumping up onto our bed. But cats definitely do get arthritis. Probably the signs can be really similar in that, you know, the cat used to jump onto the bench. You used to be able to have your food, the food and water bowl on the bench so the dog didn't eat it. And the cat used to jump up on there and, I've got to put a chair there and the cat's got to jump on the chair and then jump up onto the bench because it can't jump up onto the bench anymore. And I was just a lot of the time attribute that to old age, but it is arthritis. That cat's saying, I'm sore.
Okay.
I don't want to jump up onto that bench because I'm painful.
Right.
Stairs are another good one to look for arthritis as well. You know, cats, you know, tend to run straight upstairs if they're bunny hopping up, you know, each step at a time. It's probably a sign they're sore, taking a break. And again, when they're going downstairs, they'll usually tear down the stairs. If they're a bit sore, they might angle down the stairs and just changes in their movement.
There's definitely things you can identify.
Yes, absolutely.
Is there treatment for dogs and cats?
Yeah, so there's heaps of stuff we can do. So there's stuff you can just do like at home. So, you know, particularly for your dogs, keeping them warm, maybe bringing them in overnight, having a nice, warm, soft bedding for them so it's a bit more comfortable for them to lie on.
Yeah, okay.
Because animals that are sore tend to lie down a lot more, so they tend to be more prone to getting just, you know, rub marks and things. Monitoring that exercise. So if your dog's, you know, if you've got an 11-year-old Labrador or Great Dane or larger breed dog probably doesn't need to be doing its 5 or 8K walk enough. Every day yep. anymore. Yep. You know, going, okay, well, maybe we do 1 or 2 Ks in the morning and 1 or 2 Ks in the evening, and that's going to be better for them than doing that 5K walk.
Mm-hmm.
Or longer walk once a day.
Yeah. Sorry, I have. So I haven't actually said this on air, but I have my dog in the studio, and he's just recognised your voice and has come over for a pat. And I think he said walk, but he's getting a bit excited. Look, okay, so there's things that we can do at home, and then I imagine there'd be, I mean, you know, go to your vet, have a chat about it too.
So many products and things available to treat our pets for arthritis. So there's heaps of over-the-counter stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So nutraceuticals, as you might call them.
Okay.
Sure. So the Cosamin and Chondroitin tend to be big go-tos. I really like Epitalis, which is a plant extract, which I think is a veterinary-only product, but is still just over-the-counter.
Yeah, wow.
And it is, there's heaps of research behind it, and I really like it. It's my preference. Everyone will have their own preferences because there's so much out there these days. But certainly heaps of nutraceuticals, which are over-the-counter stuff, safe, no long-term side effects. There is a new product that's come out recently, which is a monoclonal antibody. It's a big word.
Right.
So the idea of it is it specifically targets this nerve growth factor. Now, nerve growth factor is released in pain and with arthritis. So
okay,
binds to that to stop it from, you know, to reduce the rate at which arthritis develops and reduce pain. So it's certainly becoming, it's a monthly injection, and it's sort of becoming, I guess, much more commonly used. It's a really new product, but much more commonly used just because it's not excreted by the liver and kidneys. It's not a drug per se.
Sure.
So it's more considered to be like safer than other stuff.
That's really interesting.
And it works really well. And then we've got, I guess, the mainstays, which are your non-steroidal anti-inflammatories, which are, you know, daily medication, which are, you know, certainly you want to wait until
you need to.
Until you need to. Because it's like they do have, right? That's it. Because it is a drug and they do have longer term consequences, particularly on the liver and kidneys. And we as vets like to do bloods to monitor those things when we've got a dog that's on them longer term. But there are, lots of drugs, but lots of things that we can do. You know, if your dog's got arthritis, let's get in there with that those nutraceuticals early.
Just get it early, and it's like anything else, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look, Natasha, thank you so much for coming in and having a chat with us this morning.
My absolute pleasure.